Good morning, friends. This is Joel Martin with you for the Everlasting Word. Now, today's message, we're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And it gets about the middle of chapter 4, where Paul says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Now, here in this scripture, Paul is pointing out to the Philippians that the condition of your mind is incredibly important. Now, we know, and Jesus taught, that the root of all sin comes from the heart. Now, the first thing that we must first and foremost make sure that is right with God is our heart. Is our heart condition right with God? Now, the second thing is our mind. Because once we are born again, once our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and we are sealed until the day of redemption, Satan knows he cannot pluck us out of the Father's hand. So where does he go? He goes to our mind. He whispers lies into our mind. He whispers these things. He tries to build a fortress, if you will, of fear, a fortress of anxiety, a fortress of doubt. He tries to build all these things in our mind. And if we're not careful, we begin to lose our joy. We begin to lose our focus. We become frustrated because we have not protected our mind. Now, what Paul speaks of here is, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." I find it very interesting that the first characteristic here, or the first element that he says for us to think on, is truth. Whatsoever things are true. Now, we know we live in a world where the prince and the power of the air of this world is the devil. It is. This world is just saturated with lies. This world is saturated with untruths. This world is saturated with deception. So we can't expect this world to teach us truth. If we're expecting the TV or the radio or social media, the internet or whatever to teach us truth, we're falling right into the trap that Satan wants us to fall into. And we're not thinking on things that are true. If we let this world train us how to think, we're going to think just like this world. And we're not going to be focusing on truth, but we will in reality be focusing on deception. But the only place that we're going to find truth is in God's word. We have to. There is truth in this world, but this world is also laced with deception and lies. But we must allow God's word to shine the light of righteousness upon everything in our heart, everything in our mind, and think on those things that are true. And the thing is, those things that are true isn't going to come and introduce themselves to you. "Hey, hello, I'm truth. Think on me." No, we have to seek those things out. That's our responsibility. We have to seek it out. We have to seek for the truth. And that means digging in God's word, drilling deep in God's word, letting it go deep into our heart, deep into our souls, and quit doing surface studying, but drill deep and let the word of God take root into our life and flush out all the untruths that are in our heart and our mind. But then Paul moves on from whatsoever things are true. He says whatsoever things are honest. Now, we've already established that the power and the prince of the air of this world is the devil. And we know that the devil is the prince of lies. He is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. Everything in him is darkness. He might appear to you as an angel of light, but just beneath the surface, it is full of deception and darkness. And there is no honesty in him. So I posed to my Sunday school class this morning, I said, how many people do you know that when you talk to them, that you know, absolutely know that every time you talk to them, they're being 100% honest, 100% transparent? And there was a person in my Sunday school class that just kind of nodded their head and said, not many, not many. That's the kind of world we live in. That's the kind of deception that Satan has in this world, that people cannot be 100% honest all the time and be transparent. But that is our God, we serve a God that is light. There is no variableness in him. There is no darkness in him. And there is no shadow of turning. He is absolutely 100% complete honest at all times. And those things that are honest, we need to dwell on. We need to discipline our mind to think on those things. Now, I know I've just went through two. Whatsoever things are true and whatsoever thing is honest. But see, our mind needs to be disciplined to think on the things of God. Now, Satan wants our mind to wander and to think on anything but the things of God. He wants to take our mind. He wants us to take that bait, like a fisherman's out there fishing, take that bait and run with it. That's what absolutely he wants us to do with our mind. That's where all these doubts comes from. That's where all these fears comes from. That's where all these filthy thoughts come from, sinful thoughts, all these things. Satan is trying to distract us and get our mind to wandering and thinking and pondering on all these other things, anything but God. But see, Paul's trying to teach us that we discipline our mind to think on the things of God. And oh, by the way, when Paul said pray without ceasing, that's exactly what he meant. To pray without ceasing. Because when we think about it, when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane with Peter, James, and John, what did he tell Peter, James, and John? He said, pray lest you fall into temptation. So we're to be praying without ceasing, our mind focusing on the things of God, so Satan won't have our minds just wander and go every direction other than what God would have us focus on. But see, after whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest, he adds whatsoever things are just or noble. So we got to think about, you know, everybody says God is love. Well, not everybody, but in this context of God is love. And what they really mean is, oh, God is love. We have a license to live any way we want to live. No, that is absolutely incorrect. God is love in the context that he sent his only begotten son to the cross of Calvary to live a perfect, sinless life and go to the cross of Calvary to shed his blood, to die for my sin and your sin. That is God's love commended toward men, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, but God is also a just God. Anyone who rejects the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the only begotten Son, it is just that a devil's hell is their home for eternity, because when we stand in judgment, those that are at the great white throne, you will hear those words, Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because God the Father is looking for one thing, and that one thing he's looking for is the blood that his son shed on the cross of Calvary, and that's what he will recognize, and that's the only thing he will recognize. And those of us that are at the judgment seat of Christ, we have the blood of Christ covering us. He recognizes us, for at the great white throne judgment, God the Father will not look on sin. He will not acknowledge sin. That's why he will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, because he will not recognize sin. And without the blood of Christ applied to our heart, he will not acknowledge us. He will not acknowledge sin, but he will lift up and praise the work that his son did. And it covers our sin. It justifies us as if we never sinned. And when God the Father looks upon us, he sees his son. And that's how we're justified. That's exactly how he has justified me. That's exactly, if you're saved, that's how he's justified you. And we should honor and praise and glorify him, because when he looks upon us, our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. He sees the blood of his son, and he has forgotten. He has cast our sins as far from the east as to the west. He has forgotten them. That's how we are justified. And we should focus our minds on thinking how that God has justified us. And then he says, whatsoever things are pure. Now, if we think of the word pure, we're thinking of no contaminants. There's absolutely no contaminants. There's nothing to ruin it. For the Bible tells us that a little bit of leaven, when Jesus was teaching the disciples about the teaching of the Pharisees, he ended it one day with, a little bit of leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. In serving Christ, there is no leaven. There is none. He is pure. He is pure. There is no variableness in him. He is light. There is no shadow of turning. He is completely pure. And we are to focus our minds on the purity of Christ. And then he says, whatsoever things are lovely and whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, what does he mean by if there be any virtue? Virtue meaning high moral standards. High moral standards. You might say, well, Joel, morals doesn't get you to heaven. You're absolutely right. You can live a clean moral life and be lost and go to hell. Yes, you can. But see, Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. We could not satisfy God's law. But once we're saved, once we're born again, we have a responsibility to live a high moral standard in a way that pleases and honors God. But see, Paul teaches us that we are to focus our minds on these things, discipline our minds on these things, and don't let the devil just make our minds wander. For I'm afraid that a lot of us have not really applied the teaching that Paul's trying to give us here in Philippians chapter 4 and disciplined our mind and focused our mind on the things of God. And that's what we truly need to practice if we really want that peace that we really want. So as I look at the clock, I'm out of time. I hope something in this message has been said that's been a hope to you. I will be back with you next week. This is Joel Martin.